commentary looking at the concept of the gospel of the kingdom. And I was attempting, have been these many weeks, attempting to help us understand that the gospel of the kingdom contains what we have substituted for the gospel of the kingdom, which is commonly called the gospel of salvation. The gospel of salvation is within the gospel of the kingdom, but it is not the entirety of the gospel of the kingdom. We've spent many, many weeks developing that. What I want to do is just do a little bit of review of these commissions. When you hear about the Great Commission, most evangelicals will take you immediately to Matthew chapter 28. But I started in the other four commissions. Others will tell you that they're not actually commissions. But if the Lord is standing there giving you instructions to go do something, how many know you've just been commissioned? All right? So we began in Acts chapter 26, verse 18, with Christ's commission to Paul. And we spent a great many weeks developing this thought. I am sending you. He says to them, to the Gentiles to whom I am sending you, to open their eyes, to bring them out of darkness into light, from the dominion of Satan to the dominion of God. And as a result of changing governments, is what we've come to, sins are forgiven and you receive an inheritance among those who are sanctified by faith in Christ Jesus. Now, John, Jesus appears to them and says, I am also sending you. What does that mean? As the Father sent me, so I am also sending you. Whosoever sins you declare remitted are remitted. Whosoever sins you declare retained are retained. And we spent some time on the issue of forgiveness. In Luke chapter 24, he's giving them the commission that they should go preach repentance and that they should do that where? To all the nations. Does it sound like you've got to go somewhere? Understand that when the Bible uses the word nations, it's speaking about ethnic groups, not boundaried geographies. Mark chapter 16, we're told to go into all the world and these signs shall what? Follow. That means as you're going, as you're proceeding forth in whatever it is you're doing, be attentive to the notion that something is with you. God the Holy Spirit, and He intends to put Himself on display through you. Now we come to Matthew 28 and we see go, therefore. We're going to start developing that this morning, but I want to move through this and remind you of these things. Okay? The next one is coming soon. There it is. We tried to look at some of these issues of repentance for forgiveness of sin. And keep in mind, now, as Paul's right there and underscore this, it is not repentance for the forgiveness of sin. Okay? It's repentance and the forgiveness of sin. Do you understand me? Remember, we said there is no sinner's prayer in the Bible. You declare people's sins to be forgiven, and we looked at the notion of discovering from their activity whether or not they're disposed to respond. Okay, so this is not about, dear Lord Jesus, please forgive me of my sins. However, we made this qualification, that if you don't know what else to do, then leave them in the what? The sinner's prayer. But include the declaration that in the authority of our Lord Jesus Christ, I declare to you, your sins are forgiven. Okay? It helps them. It helps you. It's a way of transitioning out of the way you have been taught into the way that is more fully expressed in Scripture. In Mark, we took a look at the issue of proceeding forth and demonstrating. Now, with all of this behind us, I want us to come to we spent some time on the issue of baptism, which I think many of you really got. But I want to come to Matthew chapter 28, verse 18 through 20. And I want to open that up for us today. We'll get about two words into it. All right? The authority and the go. If we can get that far this morning, it's a start. By the way, Pastor Mike will be preaching next Sunday morning, and for you old-timers, our friend Nick Pino will be with us 2 weeks from today. We haven't seen him in a good while, so I'm very excited about that. He always brings some very good stories with him. Missionary friend of ours for years. He's one of those guys that said to me once, you know, I really envy you pastors. I said, really, why is that? He goes, well, because you guys get to teach all kinds of stuff. Out here in the evangelistic world, all we do is we preach salvation and healing, deliverance, and all we get to see is salvation, healing, and deliverance. just a little change of perspective in it. All right, now with regard to this thing called the Great Commission, how many of you have ever actually heard that phrase and associated with this scripture? Most of you do. Okay, good. With regard to this issue of the Great Commission, there's some things that I want to just kind of sprinkle out here, a seed that might grow. The disciples in the Great Commission are sent out to do what God initiated with the ministry of Christ. Okay? Do you actually think that the disciples are going to go into all the world? No, they can't go into all the world. All right? There's 11 of them, and it's a big world. So what the Lord is doing is commissioning them and those they will replicate themselves in. Do you understand the word make disciples means replicate yourself in somebody? Think of it in terms of being an apprentice. What does the apprentice do? He comes under the hand of the master in whatever it is, and he works his way toward being a journeyman until someday he's the master. Then what does he do? He takes on another apprentice. So the idea of discipleship is that you will take what you are and deposit it in someone else. And here's what I want you to understand coming out of the gate. Even before the bell rings and the gate opens, I want you to realize you are already discipling. You may be unconscious in it, but you're already doing it. I saw a cute little thing I may reference on another occasion, but I was coming out of a certain department store recently, and I glanced in the direction of a particular counter, and I smiled. Because I saw this mother with her maybe 10, 11-year-old daughter. Mom is standing there doing whatever she's doing. Mom's in her shorts. She's got her little top on. She's got her ball cap on backwards. The little girl is standing next to her little shorts and little top. She's got her ball cap on. Guess which way it was pointed? Backwards. What is that? Modeling. She's discipling that child in her wardrobe right now. And I doubt that mom had to say, hey, put your hat on backwards. Okay? You are already doing this thing. Let us be conscious of what it is we're doing, because some of what you are doing may not be the legacy you want to leave behind. All right, the Great Commission is accomplished through, well, let's see, you shall be my witnesses after the Holy Spirit comes. Go and proclaim. Lay hands on and demonstrate. There's a motion, a declaration, and a demonstration that's characteristic of carrying the gospel. The idea is that those who respond to you, who say, how can I go forward in this with you, there are things to teach them, and they should be baptized. And we've covered some of that baptism stuff. But let's go ahead now and take a look at our text here. And we'll start to unpackage this over the next several lessons. Jesus came up to them and he spoke to them and said, what's the first thing he said? Oh, is it not there? Okay. All right. So I started a verse ahead of you. All authority is given unto me. Now, okay, great. I'm happy for Jesus. Aren't you happy for Jesus? He has all authority. Jesus, come to my aid. You have all authority. Jesus, you can do it all. Do it all. But it doesn't stop there. All authority is given to me where? In heaven and in earth. Go, therefore. Now, don't you rather imagine there's a connection here someplace? I've got it all, but y'all run on. Not exactly. Let's pause right here and begin to try to integrate these things into our thoughts. For Jesus to say, I have all authority, as distinct from the specific authority that he was moving in before. This is the resurrected Christ making a declaration that something has changed in the realm of authority. And I want to pause here and try to help you grasp that. Did Jesus have authority to raise people from the dead? So there is in that token an expression that he has some measure of authority with regard to the dead. But I want you to understand something. When he allowed himself to be swallowed by death and then came forth from the dead, claiming that he has the keys of death and hell, he now not only has authority over the dead, he has authority over death itself. Consequently, there no longer remains an authority in that realm that is not subject to Christ. All authority where? In heaven and in earth. What is this authority business about? It means that I have the authority to. Now, you can fill in whatever you want on the other side of the two. Fill in the blank. He has the authority to make it happen, make it stop happening. Create it, put it aside. He now contains in himself all that is necessary for anything that will transpire in heaven and in earth. We typically around here, we will use this issue of authority being the right to speak, power being the ability to perform. If the Lord Jesus Christ says, go, because I have authority, don't you rather imagine he's saying, raise your right hand, put this badge on, now hit it. You have been deputized in his name to go do. This issue of authority, as he's expressing it here, is really significant. It's like huge, because it is particular authority and it is general authority. Particular authority is that which is located within himself, or that which is located within you because of his presence within you. He says, it is given to me. Now, how many of you know, if he's the model and he sends you, there is some measure of authority given to you? Okay? You have it because all authority is now resident in time and space through his prime delegate, God the Holy Spirit. And where does God the Holy Spirit reside? Exactly right.
Hello there. Hey, God, how are we today?
Don't do this, search the heavens way off in the distance. God, can you hear me? You know, stick your head under your armpit and talk to him. Okay? He is that close. Because you are now hosting his presence. And that's what makes you an alien and a stranger in this land. This is no longer your home. This is your workplace. But this is not where you will set up camp. I will be waterfront, Crystal Sea. Stop by anytime. Particular authority and then general authority. All authority in heaven and in earth. Now, why is it important that Jesus have authority in the heavens? Don't get lost in the simple question. Keep in mind our broad context from Acts 26:18. Do you remember the broad context? That there is darkness and dominion into which light comes for the purpose of delivering from darkness and dominion. Now, where is the dominion of darkness rooted? What is its sphere? The heavens. Some of you are old enough to remember the foolishness of saying in a war, you guys don't come below this line and we can't go above that line. Think of it as Vietnam. Think of it as the Korean War. Think of it any way you want to. The good guys try to honor their word. The bad guys never do. So what does that mean? It means the bad guys penetrate the zone, wreck havoc, you chase them back to the line and you can't go any farther. So they're safe. They can come torment you, harass you anytime they want to, but your boss won't let you go. Listen, our boss says go, because I got it all. It's important that we have authority in the heavenlies because that's where the enemy launches its attacks. It is not through your mother-in-law, wife, or half-brother. It has a realm. It's called the second heavens. Now, let me play with this just a little bit. In Mark chapter 1, verse 39, Scripture says that Jesus went into their synagogues all throughout Galilee preaching. Now, where was he? He was in Galilee. Where in Galilee? In the synagogues. We would understand that to be what? Church. Preaching and what? In church. You know, I feel an anointing coming on. Things may get peaceful around here. I'm actually asking the Lord to manifest demons today. If you got one, I'm open to just cry out. We'll send you home change. What do you think of that? Well, he goes around in the churches preaching and casting out demons. And then lo and behold, in Mark 3, he anoints 12 so that they would be with him and that he should send them out to preach and to have authority to cast out what? Demons. Matthew 9:35 says, Jesus was going all through the cities and the villages, teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming, note, the gospel of the kingdom and healing every kind of disease and every kind of sickness. Do you see any connection between authority and demons, authority and sickness? Make note, Matthew 10:1. He summoned the 12 and he gave them, what does it say? Authority over unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal every kind of disease and every kind of sickness. In Matthew 10, he gets very specific. He says, here's what you're supposed to do with authority. How many of you know it's cool if you got a badge? It's really, really cool if you get pulled over by somebody else who has a badge. For I believe it's called exceeding the posted speed. And while you're digging for your ID, your badge falls open. They go, oh, well, look, why don't you be on your way? Should I underscore it with a blonde joke? No, I won't. There might be a blonde here. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, cast out demons. Now, there are some scandalous practices occurring in the body of Christ right now. One of which has come to my attention is that there's a father and son duo who are offering prophetic appointments for fee. And the bigger fee you pay, the bigger prophetic word you get. Freely you have received, freely give. Okay? Let's just move along. There's nothing here to see, folks. I want you to see these things and recognize these are delegations and practices of authority under the hand of the pre-resurrected Christ. Do you follow me? Now he says, as the resurrected Christ, I have greater authority than that. It kind of makes you wonder if it's not now possible that greater works could be performed. I'm still trying to get you to the works so we can go to the greater works. And we're making progress. I commend you. Thank you so much for being willing to play along. Who's next, Johnny? But we're looking at the declaration of the resurrected Christ. And in it, we find implications that are personalized, such as this, Colossians 1:13. He has rescued us from something. Is the cheat sheet behind me yet? All right. What has he rescued you from? The dominion of darkness. Where did we first hear about that? Acts 26:18. You were sitting in darkness. Someone who represented the light came, and you were translated out of that darkness into his light. And what is that transferred place called? The kingdom of his dear son. Remember, you were under the dominion of Satan. Look, there's no such thing as being your own person. You're either under the dominion of darkness or you're under the rule of Christ. There is no place in between. Anybody who says so is demonstrating that they are deceived. Okay? Darkness has really persuaded them that they're their own person. And if you're here today, you can be set free. All right. And so we come into this realm, and then Paul begins to speak to us the need to be able to see the difference between the dominion you once were ruled by, which is very tangible. Do you realize that? You were taught by your senses to respond in a sensory fashion to the creation around you. You were driven by your own appetites. You had your own desires. We've spoken before about what it means to have the lust of the flesh. That which I want and the lust of the eyes is my plan to get what I want. And the pride of life is me applying my strength to my vision to get what I want. Does anybody recognize that pattern? That's how we lived. And then we're admonished once we come into this new kingdom, to ask to be able to see with restored sight. In this realm, the eyes of your soul governed everything. But in this new realm, in this new kingdom, the eyes of your spirit have been brought alive. But you need the optometrist of the Holy Spirit to go, is this better or is this better? Is this better or is this better? And what you do in that is you say, I pray that the eyes of my understanding might be enlightened and that I might comprehend with all the saints, Ephesians 1:17 and following. You start to pray for the spirit of wisdom and revelation to cause you to see what cannot be seen with the eyes of your soul or your physical eyes. Can Jesus be seen? How? With the eyes of the Spirit. How else are you going to fix your eyes on Jesus Christ, the author and finisher of your faith, if you can't see with the eyes of the Spirit? How many of you have seen something in the Spirit? Okay, how did that happen? Did you strain really, really hard? No, you have a new way of seeing. There's a sight that has been opened up to you. And Paul goes on to say that God has placed Jesus far above all rule and authority and power and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this age, but in the age that is to come. Does that sound like above all the heavenly stuff? Yes. Why? Because our struggle, our battle, our warfare is not with flesh and blood. What's it with? It's that spiritual realm. It's that demonic realm of darkness. It's the rulers against the powers, against the world forces of this darkness, against the spiritual wickedness in heavenly places. Consequently, it's necessary for Jesus to have authority in heaven and in earth so that there's no neutral zone for your enemy to retreat to. When he starts something, make sure he flees away naked. That's what he would do to you. Jesus I know and Paul I know, but who are you? And he beat up seven of them and they fled naked and bleeding. Now the shoe is on the other foot. You should be so secure that he doesn't bother wasting time on you anymore. Okay? No, don't send me over there, boss. Don't send me out. Last time it took me 3 weeks for the swelling of my eye to go down. Shut up, you little wimpy demon. Send the bigger one. If they want to fight, give them a fight because the fight is rigged. Okay? The referee is on your side. All right. All authority has been given to him. The prime delegate, the Holy Spirit, contains that authority and roosts, if you will, in you. And he sits there looking for opportunities to manifest himself. How does the opportunity arise? Well, the Bible says, go. Now, I don't like that translation, so I'm going to change it to what it would more accurately represent if we were using the Amplified Version.
Okay.
Remember in Mark chapter 16, verse 15, it said, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And we decided, I don't want to do that. Remember? I mean, you probably wouldn't say it out loud, but inside you're saying, I don't want to do that. So what does it mean to say go into all the world? It means this. As you are proceeding forth through the cosmos. Now, do you ever proceed forth through the cosmos? Have you ever proceeded forth through the cosmos to, like, the department store? How about the grocery store? How about a neighbor's house for a bachelorette party? Or worse yet, a Tupperware party. Some things just won't go away. As you are proceeding forth, does that sound like, I'm going to the store? You need anything? I'm going to the store. Anybody ever said that? Okay? What you were actually saying was, I am proceeding forth through the cosmos to the mercantile place. Now, isn't that easier to hear than, on your mark, get set, go into all the world and preach the gospel. No. you are the host to the resident Lord of the church. When he says, I will never leave you or forsake you, lo, I'm with you to the end of the age, he was not kidding. You know? You know what would be funny? Any of you ever seen these commercials for, it's a hard lemonade. Jack's or something? What is it? Mike's hard lemonade. You ever seen that commercial where the guy has got this other head on his shoulder? Nobody? Anybody? Okay. Oh, yeah, you change the channel when they're showing liquor commercials. I understand. Well, I was too lazy to tell my wife to get up and change the channel, so I watched it. Why, of course not. You think I'd say it if she was sitting there to beat Lannadale? But wouldn't it be something if you could spot the Christian's got had an extra head on the shoulder? You'd know immediately they were a believer. You could stand there and your foreheads could start interacting with one another. But it's like that. You've got this other person with you who wants to interject himself into the conversation. I want to ask you a question, and this is for those of you who have been in those environments where they tried to make you an evangelist when you knew cotton picking, well, that's not you. But you tried, right? Some well-intentioned teacher of some kind persuaded you, you know, their blood will be upon your hands on judgment. And so there you are standing in a normal conversation with normal people, and you're having this abnormal thought. How can I get Jesus into this conversation? Anybody ever felt that pressure? Thank you so much. Right now, in the name of Jesus, I release you from that. Okay? I have no requirement that you ever ask that question again, because that's a stupid question. Here's the reason it's stupid. If you're in the conversation, Jesus is in the conversation. Do you understand me? Now, if in the course of the conversation, something out of their mouth goes like this, you know, like, look, would you reach up there and hand me that, get those coffee cups for me? I haven't been able to raise my arm in a week. And what are you going to do? Yeah, excuse me, let me get those for you. Eat. You just blew the opportunity. Now, in that moment, one of two things are going to happen. You're going to hear the opportunity, or you're going to hear about it later. Okay? I want you to know something. You don't start out being really good at this. You start out being really good at this. And after so many of those, you think, I don't want to hit my forehead anymore. I think I'll just obey God. But when you're attuned to it, you respond in the moment. And it, Casey, newlywed, young man, recently returned from nuptial blisses. Let me ask you a question. Do you have any trouble putting the name Christina on your lips? Does it just kind of pop out in conversations all the time? Why? I love her. It's a living relationship. The stuff, Now the women are going, oh, and the guys are thinking, oh, big points, dude. I wish I'd said that. This stuff that we're discussing will not work if your response is religious. Okay? You're going to have a rotten attitude and a lousy delivery. But if you love the Lord, if you're excited about what He's doing, this is just the stuff that pops out of you. It's just there. My wife is now a licensed realtor. She reminds me of that two or three times a day. So I've taken to addressing her. What's for dinner? A licensed realtor? Do you know where my razor is? A licensed realtor? So, you know, I think she's dying down just a little bit. But nonetheless, she's in this office with her co-workers now, and this lady does one of those, can you get that for me, routines or something like that. I forget how to. She has a rotator cuff thing, all right? And it's been hurting. And so, you know, Patty, she just says, well, let me pray for you. And the cowboy goes, okay. So she prayed for her, and the presence showed up. Okay? And the pain was alleviated, let me say it like this, mitigated, but not entirely alleviated. Now, before you ask, well, I don't know. But here's the follow-up. Several days later, this woman walks up to Patty, who's sitting there working the desk, takes Patty's hand and puts it on her shoulder. So Patty looks up her arm and says, would you like me to pray for your arm? And she goes, yes. Now, let me suggest to you that that's normal. Do you understand me? That's normal.
There wasn't any.
I sense the presence of God. Would you let me lay hands on you? No!
Call 911!
Look, just be you. Can you just be you? And let Him have access to you? Because the go is not about gearing yourself up to go on Thursday night because it's visitation night. Lord Jesus, I pray that I can lead someone to the Lord. Ding, no, Lord, please don't let him be home. Look, I've run that drill. Skip it. It's a bad drill. The assumption in this command to go is that the listener will be moving. Because how many of you just sit on your fingers 24/7? None of you. You're on your way to someplace. And the idea is, as you're on your way to someplace, be conscious of your companion, just in case he might want to say something. You know the difference between communication with God and communion? One is talk and the other is enjoyment. Do you have someone with whom you can sit, not say a word, and just enjoy them? Okay, good. A few of you know what I'm talking about. Rest of you talk too much. But there are people whose presence will refresh you. Now, have you ever been in the refreshing presence of the Lord and not felt compelled to pray about something? That's the fun part. See, in I will be with you always means all the time. It makes me smile in the morning. I don't say it out loud. Oh, there you are. But I hear it in my mind when I smile. Because as I'm coming up into consciousness for the new day, frequently I will hear my spirit worshiping. You know that moment? You know? And I kind of smile and think, oh, there you are. Because He is always with me and my spirit can be trained to respond. How many of you have ever been assaulted in your sleep? I mean, the sort of thing that you're just astonished could even come into your understanding is there. Horrible, horrible things. Those of us who have been raised in torment understand that to have a certain measure of frequency to it. By the time I was a young husband, I could have a nightmare in the middle of the afternoon with my eyes wide open. Okay? I was deeply troubled. As healing began to come, I would find assault would come more often in my unconscious moments, like when I'm asleep. And when I began to ask the Lord, how do I protect myself in my sleep? He began to train me to rebuke that stuff without ever attaining full consciousness. You know what I'm saying? Your spirit can be trained to respond to His leadership, even when you're unconscious in sleep. Now, that gives me great hope for the times when we're actually conscious and awake. Now, I want to be quick to say, a few minutes ago, that sometimes the Holy Spirit will give you a specific go. Like when He said to Philip, go out into the desert and stand there. All right? And along came an Ethiopian. The angel of the Lord said that to them. An Ethiopian eunuch comes along, and the Spirit of God says to him, join yourself to that man, and you know that story. I won't go there. But most often, stuff happens en route. Do you know the word en route? That's like, where were you this morning in your car? You were en route, right? As you head down toward the reception in a few moments, where will you be? En route. If you go out to lunch today, where will you be? En route. If you're on your way to the salad bar, where will you be? En route. Stuff happens en route. Jairus comes to Jesus and he says, my daughter is ill. Will you come with me? So they get up and where are they? En route to Jairus' house. What happens en route? The woman with the issue of blood stops the whole parade. And what happens? While she's getting healed, the girl dies. And so they send the message, why trouble the master any longer? Your daughter has died. And what does Jesus say? Only believe. So being delayed en route with a miracle gave the opportunity for a greater miracle. Do you see it? It's one thing to heal a sick girl. It's another thing to raise a dead one. It's not really, because Jesus understands Yoda. Luke can't raise the X-Wing fighter out of the muck. I can't do it. It's too big.
No. There is no big. There is no try. There is only do.
Master, I can't believe it.
That is why you fail.
Right? See, the thing about working on foots and shoulders and headaches and backs and pain and feet. Look, if it's your headache, shoulder, back pain, or foot, it's a great thing. It's a great thing. You know, for Pete not to have to limp through the week because God healed his foot is a great thing. But I heard something recently that excited me. Someone missed a service. I was chatting with them. They said, did God do anything? They said it like this. I told them there were some healings. They said, well, did he heal anything other than backs and pain? Pains and feet and that stuff. And I said, no. And they went, oh. Do you hear it? They were saying, I want to see more. Okay? There was a time this house couldn't believe for a foot. And now foot is old hat. Do you hear me? I want to see more is what's stirring in the hearts of our people. And that excites me. That excites me. Because if you want more, guess what you'll get? Absolutely. I'm excited about the fall. I'm going to take you on a journey toward more. Now, let's finish with this. The testimony of the life of Christ after the fact. He's dead, buried, raised again, ascended. The testimony of Jesus was this. You've heard of Jesus who went about doing good, healing all who were oppressed of the devil, because God was with him and had anointed him with the Holy Ghost and power. Now, what was Jesus doing? Where was he? He was en route. And what did he do en route? He's coming up out of Jericho and he's walking along with a crowd. They're headed someplace and two blind beggars said, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy upon us. And the crowd said, shit, it's a demon, have mercy on him. So he turned aside and said, what do you want? He said, Lord, we would see. And he said, presto, alakazam. Their sight was restored and they got up and followed him. Over and over and over, you will see that when the demonstrations came, many believed on him. Because of the signs. As we go in authority, we should see something. Now, at the risk of being involved in another disappointing conversation, is there anyone here with foot, back, shoulder, pain? All right, come stand here. If you need a touch from God, come stand here. Absolutely. Go get her, Mama. Go get her. If Jesus is alive from the dead, then the living Christ should be made visible. And you are the ones who hold that testimony that he is alive. Now then, there were a number of you who stood last week to say, I want to present myself on the square in Leonardtown on August the 11th from 5 to 9 and be a part of dream interpretation, healing prayer, and positive words. Meaning edification, exhortation, and comfort if you didn't make it connect the dots. Now, not all of you will do that. Some are just going to come and watch by handing out water. Okay? But those of you who feel like you want to test drive your anointing that day by laying hands on people you don't know, I want you to stand. Those of you who said you're going and want to be a part of healing that day, okay, here is your opportunity to prove to you that God will move through you. Come up here and let's see healing. Come lay hands on these sick and they will recover. And I want you to keep the memory of this moment alive as you stand there in Leonardtown. Because the same God who will do it here for you will do it there for you. Okay? This is not hard. Get nose to nose with someone. When we run out of noses, we'll either find more sick people or more prayers. Nose to nose. I see no noses over here. All right. Now, what I want you to do is ask them, what distress are you experiencing? Don't give your life story. Just say where it hurts. Kathy, are you coming for prayer or to pray? Step on this side. Okay, we have a word of knowledge about head distress right up here. Who is that? Who's having trouble in their head? don't all raise your hands at once. I'm actually talking about pain. A burning sensation. Is that person seated here? Then somebody lay hands on you for that burning sensation in her head. All right, now. Linda, you're getting ahead of me. You guys listen. Excuse me, I'm trying to help you. Now that you've gotten what the difficulty is, ask them if it's okay if you touch them. May I lay my hand on you? Okay? Now, begin in the name of Jesus to speak to that distress. Who here has been healed of allergies? You had them and now you don't have them? Anybody? God has healed you of allergies. All right, would you come pray for this little girl over here? Mama's bringing her here for allergies. Okay? My wife was healed of a bunch of them, but she's not up here. Lyme disease? Who of you have faced Lyme disease in your family? Anybody? Come up here, the both of you. Lay hands on this little guy. Michelle, you can come with him. It's all right. Right around here, Brendan. That's a pitiful little thing when a little child has got Lyme's disease. All righty, and I'm about to release the rest of you for the day, but I want to make this appeal. If any of you would like to be with us for this beach party thing and you've not yet made an opportunity to present yourself, we've got a sign-up sheet out back. There'll be a training session next weekend, and then we'll just walk out there and see what the Lord will do together. If you want to be water baptized by immersion, there's a sign-up sheet out there, I think. If there's not, just put baptism and write it there. And if you want to be a part of that motivational gifts class that starts two Sundays, sign up so I can get the testing instrument for each one of you. Would you stand? Mm-hmm. 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 Pastor Don's reminding me that if you are one of those folks who is tormented, whether it's in daylight or darkness, but you know that there's this reoccurring sense of dread and oppression around your life, we're prepared to pray for you and break the power of that thing. So you just bring your little tormenting spirit up here and we'll send you home without it. All right? Because Jesus Christ is alive and sets the captives free. So feel free to come on up here and meet with him. Okay? Oh, glory. If you need anything else, I'm going to open up the altar because there's a real sense of the presence of God manifesting up here. That's cool. I like that. All righty. Okay, Father, I thank you so much for the testimony that Jesus Christ is alive from the dead. And I bless you for each one who is praying and those who are receiving your touch right now. And even as people listen to this CD, Lord, somewhere in the future, someplace out there, somewhere on the world through the internet, I speak the authority of the name of Jesus over their distress, and I command that the Prince of Peace be allowed to reside in that situation as we break the authority that establishes disorder. Even now, God, for those with hip injuries, that inability to move with fluidity, right now I speak health to that hip in Jesus' name. For that elbow pain, God, that causes them not to be able to raise a glass to their lips, right now, healing in the name of Jesus. For we speak liberty to the captives in Jesus' name. For that young woman that's tormented in her mind, Father, and that thing just keeps running and running and running and tormenting her. She sees it over and over. I rebuke that thing. I shut down that theater in the authority of Christ. And I command that peace and rest fill her being right now in Jesus' name. For that little child with club feet, Father, I speak correctiveness to it in Jesus' name, that those feet will just come miraculously around and those shoes will no longer be needed. Astonish the parents with joy as you intervene on behalf of this child. For the steps of that child are ordered by you, and I release them from this distress in Jesus' name. Lord, I thank you. Your ability to touch gastro phenomena, that you'll just come and minister your grace and healing to those who are suffering in their intestines. Now, in Jesus' name, I bless you for it, Lord. I thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, bless you. You're dismissed. We thank you for being here. We look forward to your return. Don't forget the reception downstairs. There'll probably be some testimony shared in a moment if you want to stick around and hear that.